Anybody wish they'd stayed home? Okay, I was going to say, you better not. Wow. Awesome, awesome day. I love this cool weather, don't you?
Yeah.
Two more weeks, muzzleload season opens. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Hey, it's good to have you here today.
Thanks, it's great to be here.
Wow.
Thanks for having me back.
You look a little different than the guy that was here last week.
Do I really?
He was short.
Uh-huh.
And you're pale.
I've been working on my tan. But,
yeah, you got a long way to go to catch him.
That's right.
And you don't have an accent like he does.
That's right.
Well, we got some good things to share with you today. And never thirst for those. How many of you were not here last year when Spencer was with us? Several.
Okay. Yeah, so
how many of you were here? All right. How many of you are just never going to raise your hand no matter what we say?
Who's too embarrassed to raise their hand?
How many of you like to have a $100 bill?
Everybody.
Yeah, there we go. That's what I thought.
My son raised his hand.
Yeah. Wow. Well, Never Thirst is a... actually, I found out about Never Thirst through the Association of Related Churches. We had hooked up with another organization that we were going to do some wells with. And when I got to checking into it, we would have no follow-up whatsoever with our wells. We would know what country, but we wouldn't know where they were. We wouldn't know if they were connected to a church or anything else. So right in the middle of the string, I made a call to the ARC headquarters and checked these guys out, and they said they're good guys. And so we hooked up with Never Thirst. The first year, we kind of did it on our own, and we did one well in Sudan, and we did two wells in India. We raised around $10,000, and that did two wells.
Well, the Sudan one was more expensive.
Yeah, it was a $5,000 well. Last year, you came, and you did better than I did. We raised more money.
We
did 10 wells last year. And
that was great.
We're going to show you some pictures in just a minute. But I was in my office one day, and these guys came in, and they're kind of missionary-type people that go and come. And they were wanting some support. And they was telling me about their ministry. One of them said, I'll tell you what. I thought, I'm going to get some religion laid on me now. We preach the gospel. We don't dig wells. All we need is the gospel. That's basically what he said. So how? You dig wells.
We do dig wells,
yes. How do you deal with that question? Preach the gospel. We don't need wells. We need to preach the gospel.
Well, I think that's a really good question and one that we should ask. I mean, we should ask, you know, you have the gospel. Do you need other things? And I think, you know, what I was telling you earlier was I just really found out if you look at Scripture, you can find the answer to a lot of these questions. But really, even on another note, when we look at our own lives, I started thinking about this. I started thinking, well, doesn't God care for us the same way? Does God clothe us and feed us and give us opportunity to earn income and those types of things? And it's really easy for us to kind of get the picture that we do it all ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that this is, hey, the reason I have food is because I go out and work for it. But absolutely, God puts you in this time and this place for his purposes. And he has blessed you immensely and blessed me immensely. And so he cares about the water you drink and the food you eat and the clothes you have on your back. It's easy to see through Scripture that. And then I was even looking at Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 starts out. Jesus is going, it says, and Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages. When I hear the word villages, I'm thinking India and Sudan and Central African Republic, these little huts and villages, teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. Isn't that good that Jesus went around preaching the gospel? Isn't that what we see him doing, which is so true and needed? So in one aspect, these missionaries that came Absolutely, we need the gospel.
Yes.
Social work apart from the gospel does nobody any good. Us drilling wells apart from the gospel, apart from the local church, would relieve some anguish and some pain for some people for a little bit, but give no concern for eternity. And that's a long time. But that's not where Jesus stops. It says he was going around proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. So Jesus obviously had compassion for these people, because it then says when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And so when Scripture says that Jesus saw the crowds, do you think he just saw their physical condition, or did he see both physical and spiritual condition? Absolutely. He saw both. And even this morning, when he looks at your life and my life, he sees physical and he also sees spiritual. The same thing Jesus Christ in the flesh, when he saw the crowds, he looked at them, it said he had compassion on them. It doesn't say these were all Christians or non-Christians or what. He absolutely saw their spiritual state, saw their physical state, and had compassion. So the way I take this and all the other scriptures that talk about this type of thing is that if you have the Spirit of Jesus Christ inside of you, when you see people hurting, when you see people without access to water or in your own community that are suffering a certain way, a big test is, does the compassion of Christ come out in you? That's why he's given you the Holy Spirit, to do the works of Jesus Christ. And so we see in our ministry, they're absolutely married, the gospel and helping people receive access to clean water. And the way we do that is we work exclusively through the local church. We don't think that Never Thirst is, God has produced Never Thirst to go out and save a bunch of people. God has produced Never Thirst, or given us the ability to start Never Thirst, to equip and encourage the local church and give them tools to bring clean water and make it easier for them to share the gospel with people. Because when people have access to clean water in these areas, it opens up doors for them to share. And I'll just say, in India, it is extremely difficult to share the gospel. You may see pictures of these large, huge crusades in cities, and yes, you can do that, but where the people have not heard of Jesus Christ are mostly out in these remote villages where we work, where there's no access to water. And we're dealing with generation after generation after generation of Islam or Hinduism or animism. And animism is where they worship created things rather than the creator. They worship trees and plants and spirits of relatives. And so there's already this wall built up that when they see a Christian come in, a pastor, an Indian pastor come in to share the gospel, they're all already thinking this is a foreign religion. This comes from somewhere else. This isn't our religion. And so bringing clean water really does open up the door and softens people's heart to even want to hear what they have to say. Because in these societies, it's very selfish. It's very self-centered. And so Hindus, even because there's a caste system and all these different things taking place in their culture, they don't really care about each other. They only look after their own family. And for somebody to come and give water to a whole community and expect nothing from it is a big deal and gets their attention. So a long answer.
Yeah,
sorry.
That's good. You know, remember the ice storms that we've had in the last 4 or 5 years? And I don't know about y'all, but we were without electricity, heat, water, because we're on a well. We were without water for 5 days. And we come up here, we had it up here, so we come up here and took our showers, and we thought we were so misput because our electricity was out. And it just threw everything into a disarray in our lives. And you can imagine being in a place where something like clean water they've never had, and what all the potential that opens to disease and other things. Yeah. Things that we take so much for granted. We are the most blessed nation in the
world. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we take that for granted, and we shouldn't. And that's not a guilt thing at all. That's just a fact.
Yeah.
You know, America is responsible. We're blessed for a couple of reasons. We put out more missionaries, more gospel, most than any other country. And besides that, we're friends with Israel.
That's right.
And those are huge, huge things. And we need to keep doing those things. So I like my blessings, don't you? Okay, but there are people who do not have what we take for granted.
Yeah.
And Never Thirst is kind of an arm, since we've partnered with them. They are our connecting factor with churches in India and that one in the Sudan. We're going to look at some pictures here. He's got a couple things that he's going to share with us, and then he's going to show us some of our wells and the impact that our wells have had last year, and then we're going to issue a challenge about this coming year. So,
and that was a great point the pastor made. Just, you are blessed, and a lot of times we can have a tendency, like people that do work, that work in developing countries, could say, oh, look at these poor people, shouldn't you feel bad about them? But that's not what Scripture calls. Scripture doesn't bless you to make you feel guilty for what you have. He blesses you and gives you opportunity to take part in His work. And I said this last time I was here, Psalm 67, 1 and 2, which is kind of the scripture that we were founded on, says, may God bless you, may God be gracious to us, bless us, and make His face shine upon us, so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. So you see the catch there. God has blessed you for the purpose of making His name great. And that's what you all have been doing. And I just want to say, not only here, but worldwide in India, especially with the churches we work with. So I want to just real quickly kind of back up and remind you of some of the challenges that are out there in the world today, dealing with people out in these developing countries as clean water goes. And then I'm going to talk to you about some of your communities. So this is the reality in the world today. Almost 1 billion people on the planet don't have access to clean water. That's 1 billion. It would take you 32 years to count to 1 billion. That's how many people we're talking about. 4,000 children die every single day. They died yesterday, they'll die today, and they'll die tomorrow. And this is the choice. How many of you are moms out here? Do we have any moms? This is a choice faced that many thousands upon thousands of moms face every day. Withhold water, dirty water, from your child, or give them dirty water that you know could potentially kill them. And that's what happens, because these kids are usually 5 years and younger, and their bodies just aren't able to handle the diseases that they get. And mainly they die from diarrhea, actually just dehydration. Women, this is a huge burden on women. They walk for miles and miles and miles every single day to collect water. So in the morning, they get up and they travel. They go back several times a day. This is water for drinking, cooking, cleaning, bathing, all the things that we use water for. These women have to walk and collect it. And they miss their family. They are open to attack and different things by wild animals and people. Kids who are sick miss school. Education is a huge thing. I mean, huge in the developing world. If a child can have an education, then they're more likely to be able to get a job and to earn an income for their family. Without any education, more than likely they'll be stuck in this rut of poverty. And so when they don't have clean water, kids are often out fetching water, or if they're sick, they miss school. And so clean water adds days to their school. Toilets, 2.5 billion without toilets. And you cannot imagine. And it's hard for us to think about not having clean water. It's really hard to think about not having a toilet. And the dignity that comes with a toilet. The dignity that comes with being able to shut the door and use the restroom. And this is just a fact in the developing world. I mean, even in India, I think there are like, India has almost 1.2 billion people. There's probably 600 or 700 million without any type of toilet or sanitation facility. And that's a huge burden, a lot of times on women. Next, income, any kind of income a family might have had, they'll spend on medicine to help their child, or they'll go and give it to the witch doctor or some healer who they think has some magical power. And what really is incredible is to go from village to village and hear how a lot of times they'll have tried all the traditional sources and they get a pastor to come and pray for them because they're desperate and somebody gets healed.
Yes.
And it's really, it does happen. I mean, we it's hard for us to understand that. It happens.
Yes.
And people end up coming to faith in Christ because a pastor went and prayed and God healed them. So he's still in the business of healing every disease and every affliction.
Yes.
This is the truth. It's really true, and it's really powerful to hear the stories. And then, lastly, 125 gallons versus 5 gallons. We in America, on an average day today, you will consume an average of 125 to 150 gallons of water as a family, drinking, cooking, cleaning, bathing, washing your dishes, washing your clothes, all these things. Average family in the developing world, they'll struggle to find 5 gallons of water to use during the day. That's the difference. Again, that's not, hey, you should feel guilty for that. That is, man, we have an opportunity to help. And we can help through the local church that marries the gospel with clean water. This is your water under a microscope. This is tap water.
That don't look too clean, does it?
You would think that doesn't look too clean, but you drink it every day. And it doesn't do your body any harm. It's good for you. It hydrates you and keeps you healthy. And this is water brought back from Africa. Put under a microscope.
I believe that did look clean too. Compared
yeah,
to that.
That looks clean compared to that, which is moving and gets in there in the little kids' bodies and destroys their bodies. And so I just wanted to kind of bring it back to reality. This is the reality for 1 billion people on the planet. Not just a few, but 1 billion. And you have, I want to kind of move into thanking you for your generosity because you've impacted the lives of thousands of people that were living this type of life. Changed their life, really. And what you've done is you've equipped the church to do it, which is the amazing thing, which I love.
So we can really make a difference.
You can really, really make a difference. Batesville, Arkansas, Jharkhand, India. Huge difference. Big eternal impact. So, yes. Yeah, and so now we're going to move into, I think the next one was a passage that we already went over. And then the next, that was the Matthew. Okay, so this is a little boy. This is a typical kid in an Indian village. If you ever come to India, you go into the villages. And he just looked like that. They're usually, this is how he looks right now, took his picture. As soon as we turn around and show him his picture, he starts giggling and laughing. And they absolutely love pictures. I usually take a Polaroid. And we'll take a picture and give it to them. They've never seen themselves. Definitely never had a picture of themselves. And
this is
one of your communities that you all helped. It's Iti Digipiri. Sound pretty good? You wouldn't know if I got it wrong, would you? I wouldn't either.
We got some school teachers out there. They could probably tell us.
Yes, well, you're right. So this is in a very poor region in Jharkhand, India. The village is Iti Digipiri. Next. This is where they got water. This is an open well. It's very, very typical in India. And they drop a bucket down there. You can see a lot of times they'll tie buckets to those logs that they put across. They'll tie a bucket so the whole community can use one bucket and they'll dip it down in there and pull it back up and pour it in and walk back to their village. And I think the next one, this is your well that they were in the process of constructing. So the community, this is a great thing. The pastor goes to the village leader, which they rarely ever do. But in the Never Thirst, in our what we do with the community, we teach them how to approach the leader of the community and start talking about clean water. Well, everybody's very interested in clean water, so they immediately kind of perk up. And then he explains that they need to raise a certain amount of money for a repair fund, because we know the well will have some issues down the road, several years. They'll need washers and different things replaced. And so the community comes and contributes, and they open an account. It's kept in the account for repairs for a later date, and then we come in, and through the church, dig about, this well's probably about 200 feet under the ground. These clean aquifers are just flowing down there. And so they dig down there until they hit water, pipe it up, and then they put this pump. This is called an India Mark II hand pump. And once they start pumping that water, it just comes up, and it's so good. I mean, I drink it when I travel. I drink well water, and it's cold and delicious and something that they've never had before. Just imagine going from dipping your bucket down in a nasty, dirty well to getting clean water from 200 feet below the earth. And then that's your completed process and completed, or the completed well. The great thing about this particular village, I was reading the interviews from the community, and I was reading what the pastor was saying. This is a village that they've tried to bring the gospel to for a long time, but it has been unsuccessful. And so this is the first type of like outreach they've tried to do in the community to help the poor. A lot of it has been trying to preach, and what happens is they'll go to one or two homes. And then once the rest of the village hears that somebody's come to preach the gospel, they'll shut them down and not let them into anybody's home. So through your generosity, we were able to train a pastor and say, hey, why don't you approach it this way? We go in with clean water, build relationships with community leaders and all the way down. You gain the respect of the community, and then you can come in and start sharing why you did it. Because they don't understand why anybody would want to come and help them. And so now he's able to go and share the gospel. We have heard stories of people coming to faith in Christ in this community that has been very, very resistant before. So
yes,
thank you. You did that. You are a part of that. I mean, that's the beautiful thing. I mean, to me, that's the beautiful thing of how the church works. The Lord speaks to you and says, you can be involved, and then you give, and the local church receives and puts it into place on the field. And man, God had it. God has this thing rigged, you know? He's got it rigged. He wants to use believers from Arkansas to Alabama to California, all the way to India. And so I thank you for that generosity.
Now, this well, how much did this well cost?
This well's $2,000.
$2,000. And we did 10 of them last
year. Yep.
This next one, I think, yeah.
Yeah. Bari. I'm going to say it that way because I think that's how they say it. This is an interesting area here, too. This is, they're holding these pots. This is how they collect water. This is a really interesting area and one that is very dangerous, actually. And I thought this was an interesting story. This is called, this area, they would call it a Naxalite area. Naxalite is a very dangerous extremist group for Hindus, kind of like extremist Islam extremists. You know, I've met a lot of Muslims. They're not all like what we see coming out of Afghanistan or whatever. But these Naxalites are they're very anti-government, and they're very violent. And so there's one church within a 30-kilometer radius, and the church that we've partnered with, as this Pastor Benjamin used to be one of these Naxalites, but now he got saved, went through pastor training, got, you know, educated, and then went back to these communities to share the gospel. And it's a really tough existence for him because he's, you know, he's preaching the gospel in a really hostile area. And so this village, you all helped. And without your support, we probably wouldn't have worked there. And as a matter of fact, I was telling David last night, one of the drilling crews told us that they got held up at gunpoint. And they're just real curious about what people are doing in there. They want to know where the Naxalites are. So the government never goes in there. Nobody ever goes in this area to help these people until the church has.
Yes.
And so that's the beauty of this. And so what's the next slide here? That's their water source. And these people, when we got the background on the community, they work in a coal mine several miles away. And so the village, like everybody in the village, walks to a coal mine several miles a day, every day. This is the water that they use to bathe, to wash their clothes, and for cooking and cleaning their dishes and stuff, but they would walk to another village further and get water out of a river to drink. So this water was really harmful. The river water is not good either, and because people are bathing and using the restroom in the river as well. So this was the previous source. There's one of your plaques, one of 10, and if you can't read Hindi, and I can't, but somebody here figured out that's Revelation 21, 6. Let me read Revelation 21, 6 real quick. And here's the end of all things, right? Our pastor right now is going through Revelation. Revelation 21, 6, a new heaven and a new earth, and it says, "And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment.'" And so that's what the scripture says. And you can even see Pastor Benjamin there, the repair above his name, repair and maintenance fund by the villagers. So they contributed, I think, up to 200 rupees each. This is a lot of money for them. But they saw the importance. They desperately needed water, and they were willing to do it, which gives them buy-in to the whole project. So there's Pastor Benjamin. There, this is a dedication, and it gives them an opportunity to gather the community members around and talk to them about Jesus. But we also know that most of the true evangelism and reaching people with the gospel is done in homes, more personal, with a family, as opposed to out in a street preaching. And so this gives them opportunity for the villagers to see him and understand who he is and then make the connection. And then, so he's done a dedication. And here's a kid that's been drinking dirty, dirty, nasty water his whole life and has survived. And this is his first taste of clean water. And thanks to you all for doing that.
I have grandkids that age. That just, yeah. That rips my heart.
Yeah. Yeah. And so there they are, clean water. And there are the pans that they're, you know, that they collect in. And you can imagine, ladies, these pans, water weighs about, I think, 5 pounds a gallon. Is that right? Or 8 pounds a gallon? 8 pounds a gallon. 8 pounds a gallon. So you're talking 5 gallons. You're talking about 40 pounds. 40 pounds. And they put that on their head, and they let go of it, and they walk back to their village. So every day, sometimes,
for miles.
Yeah, for miles, 7 times a day or so. Now they have a well in their very own community. It's just a short walk. They're able to spend more time with their families. They're able to... Their kids are able to be well and go to school and get an education if there's a school nearby. And so completely changes their whole life. Completely changes their whole life. And so when it's the church that has done this, it's a big deal. This is no small thing. This is a big deal, especially in this community where the government will not even go in and do anything. Nobody goes and helps these people. But through your generosity and the courage of the local church there, they're able to do it. And they actually even have a church building, which I think is the next picture. This is typical. I'm in these all the time in India, going to a little church building. Men sit on one side, women sit on the other. And the believers there, it's authentic worship. And they just worship the Lord. And they love to hear stories from the Word of God. And it's just really awesome to be with these people. So I think that was it for the ones that I had put together, but then you all have more from previous reports that we've sent you.
Okay.
So we'll go to those. Here's another project that you all have completed. There's the platform. So they build the well, and I was saying that, I told Pastor David earlier, that platform right there, it's nice and looks really great when it's first completed, and we take pictures and make sure we get them back and say, "Hey, this is one of your projects." But the women will use that stone right there to wash their clothes, and they will wear that thing out. And so anybody who goes back there, we actually continue to go back. We get reports on the project. We get reports on the church and see how it's doing. But any pictures we get back later on of the well, the plaque is completely destroyed. But it's for a good thing. It's still a good thing, right?
Yes.
So... again, there's the pastor, and here's the dedication. Anytime you see ribbon around a well, they're doing a dedication and getting the people around and praising the Lord. So the villagers are really, the villagers are raising their hands. That's a thank you to you all for helping provide them with clean water. And so here's one of the women that will impact. You can see the area around. You see how dry and arid it is. During the dry season, a lot of their open wells dry up, and they have to go and search for water a lot further. But with these wells 200 feet deep, they won't have to do that. They'll have clean water year-round. And so I love that picture. That's one of your wells. I mean, that's the little girl from one of your wells. They're beautiful, beautiful people. And she probably has heard the gospel for the first time now because of that. So, yeah. It's good water. There's another one of your plaques. Aren't they beautiful people?
Love the smile.
Yeah,
love
the smiles are great. The smile, when you get them to smile, they're really, really great. And again, a thank you from another village for your help and your support.
Wow.
And I want to say thank you because we can't do our work. What God's called us to do to equip and encourage the local church through clean water, we couldn't do that without you all. And so it's churches like you, family members, that make our work possible. And so we praise God for generosity shown through you.
Tell us how many wells y'all did last year.
This year, 2012, we'll finish out the year in India with around 100 completed. And in Central African Republic, another 70 repaired. And then we do some in-home clean water filters. We do those in Darfur and Western Sudan. So
this little church right here, 500-600 people all together, we were responsible for 10% of what they did in India. Yep. And that's awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome.
That's what we can do when we work together.
Yeah.
That's the difference that we can make. The quote, the light that shines.
The light that shines the farthest shines the brightest at home.
We want a strong home front, and we're working very diligently to be a blessing on the home front in our city, in our county. We have projects going on. Our life group does projects all the time. The church does projects. In fact, we're going to help the city here in a few weeks. They're going to be giving away flu shots. And we're going to feed the workers. The city has come to us and said, would you help? Would you help? And I love it when the judge or the mayor or somebody from, or even the police department comes and says, would you help? Because they know that we have a heart to help. So we want the bright light shining at home, but we want it to shine far.
That's right.
I want us to be such a church that if we were not here, that people would care and people would notice that we were gone. And I'm thinking it's so sad that something has happened in the American churches that we have become so inward looking, all about our stuff, all about us, all about our comforts, that we forgot that we have the Great Commission. And it starts at home, but it goes out from there. We just can't get away from that. It starts at home, and we do. We support a lot of local ministries here and looking to do more. But we want to touch our nation. We want to touch India, Sudan. Last week, we're talking about next year planting a church in Cameroon. Some things are happening. The wheels are already turning. There's things that are, and I'll share that with you later, that are happening to make that a part. Could we get together a group and go over there sometime and see some
yes,
of these wells?
Yes, you could.
Woo!
Anybody who wants to travel to India and see these projects, there are no Hampton Inns or Ramadas, but you can do it, I promise.
How about a Motel 6?
There's not a Motel 6. There's some interesting places, but you'll be safe, and the church is very hospitable, and it would be great to take a team from Believers Community to see your projects over in India. And I know the church will be encouraged. we give you opportunities to pour into their leadership and to pour into to some of them.
What difference could it make? Let's say that a group of us went over there. Mm-hmm. How are those people receptive to?
The church would be greatly encouraged by your presence, and they always are. And as far as the community, they always love visitors. Most of these communities have never seen foreigners come in. And so it's always interesting when you're the first ones going in there.
They don't eat white meat, do they?
They don't. They don't.
Ernest told me that they liked white meat in Africa.
Right.
So that scares me.
Yeah. No, they're vegetarian. So,
hey, we'd be safe there.
That's right. That's right.
Wow.
But they would, the church would be encouraged for sure. It'd be great to do. So
here's the deal. We'll do it just like we did last year. This is our kickoff Sunday. We want you to pray. There's no pressure. If you don't believe in this, don't participate. But we believed in it last year. Mm. We believed in it big. Mm. We raised $20,000 last year to do wells.
It's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money. And there's no pressure in this. We don't twist arms. We don't believe in give till it hurts. I've heard people say, you just need to give till it hurts. I don't believe that. Mm. No. We need to be led by the Holy Spirit in our giving. And, you know, last year we had, I think, three, and I'm just thinking off the top of my head, at least three individuals that were able to do a whole well, $2,000. Mm. We had some that gave a couple hundred dollars. Some they just gave what they could. But here's my challenge. I would love for every family. See, I want you to have partnership in this. So maybe you say, well, I couldn't give but $5. If that's what the Holy Spirit leads you to give, then that's enough.
That's right.
Now, if he says 100 and you give 5, that's disobedience. We just want you to be obedient to what the Lord lays on your heart. Don't give more. I can't believe I said that.
Don't say that.
Don't give more than the Lord leads you to give. But just do what he asks you to do. Mm. And here's what I know. And you know what I'm talking about. When you sow, God blesses. I know. I'm going to tell the story without permission. And I'm not going to give a name, but we have somebody sitting here today that God spoke to him to give away a vehicle. And his business would kind of had been slow. In fact, it was just kind of at a standstill. And God spoke to him to give away a vehicle. And he did. And from that point, his business began to take off. God blesses it. Now, that is not a trick to get people to do something. That's a testimony of God's faithfulness because God wants to bless us. And I know story after story, you know, that people are directed to give something. And many times God uses that as a point of obedience so that he can open a door of blessing for somebody's life.
What I love to think about is, as we are out trying to raise money, and I tell my staff, and God owns and controls all the money in the world, all of it, every bit of it, every dime he controls. It's under his sovereign care, and so we can trust him that whatever believers, community church, partners with us, we trust him that hey, people have given according to, you know, the word they heard from the Lord, and we love that. And so we thank you for your generosity. Whatever, whether it's $5 or whether it's $5,000, it doesn't matter. We praise God for your partnership.
And one of the things that I have comfort in is that I know that we can trust you as head of this ministry to be a good steward. Mm. I mean, because you know what, you give something sometimes and you don't know what people do with it. Well, that's why I wanted him to come and sit down here and show pictures, and this is where your money went, and this is what it's doing, this is the potential that it has. So this is a totally open thing here. I mean, I trust what they are. I checked them out, and I know that they're going to have an accountability to us, and we're going to have a stewardship with them. And through that, the influence of our church is going to reach into the areas that God has laid on our hearts to do. And to God be the glory.
Amen.
To God be the glory.
That's right.
Okay.
Pastor, may I be the first for the next well?
Sure.
All right.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. There's the first gift. Now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to receive this offering on the Sunday before Thanksgiving. You say, well, that's a tough time of the year to do that. I know. That's the beginning of the Christmas time, and you're thinking about Christmas presents. I don't know about your kids, but my grandkids get more toys than they'll ever play with. And we spend and dote on our kids. We're so blessed that we dote on our kids so much more than, honestly, that we need to. And that's one of the reasons I picked this time of the year to do that. And you know, I challenge you to maybe take some of what you are going to do for Christmas and give one of these kids a gift. But we're not talking about Tinker Toys and Lincoln Logs and little Game Boys and all that. We're talking about health, water. And this is not a guilt thing at all. Buy your kids all that you want to. I don't care. But let's not forget those. That little boy has a mom and daddy. That little boy brought tears to my eyes. He has a mama and a daddy and a probably a papaw. That if he dies, then it's going to hurt. 4,000 kids
a day
die. Tell the story about what you saw.
Yeah, I was actually in Central African Republic a few weeks ago, and we were going through the villages, and we had repaired this broken well in a community, and we interviewed. So this woman was there getting water, and so we wanted to interview her and talk to her about her daily struggle for water before the well was fixed. And so we walked down to where she used to get water, and then we interviewed her and started talking to her, and she told us she had three kids, and one of them passed away from diarrhea. And that's disturbing enough for us as we sat there and talked to her. Even more disturbing was the fact that her husband was so grieved that he committed suicide. And so now she lived with her brother and her two remaining girls. And the well had been broken probably for 4 or 5 years. And so it was just diarrhea. You know, my son is here. If he gets sick, man, I take care of it right away. My daughter, same thing. They don't have that opportunity. And so,
but that is preventable.
It's preventable, absolutely.
Clean water, that's preventable.
Absolutely.
All right, let's. I want us to pray together as a church, and I just invite you. You're not making decisions today. You're just opening your heart to the Holy Spirit. And let's commit this thing to the Lord. And we know that where He guides, He provides. And I believe that through us and through other churches that this need is going to be met. In Jesus' name. Father, thank you so much for this report today. Father, I just thank you for the awesome feeling that I have of thanksgiving for this church and these people who have loved through their gifts and provided ways that families won't die because of clean water. Lord God, we just open our hearts to you today, and we acknowledge that you're the owner and we're the stewards. And we ask that you would speak to all of our hearts as to what you would have us to give. And Lord, help us to be obedient to that. And I know that as people respond to your prompting, that blessing will come upon them in many, many ways. in many, many ways, that you'll open many doors. I believe, Father, that you're looking for people that you can bless who will be a blessing. And God, we want to be that people today. We thank you and we commit this thing to you. And we praise you in Jesus' name. And if you agree with that, say amen.
Amen.
That's a good one. Praise God. Thanks for coming.
No, thank you all.
Thank you
very much. No, don't stand.
No. I'm glad that God laid on your heart to do Never Thirst.
Yeah.
Because it gives us an opportunity to be partners with what you do. Thank you for being here today. You're dismissed.
All right.